So we are going to ask those who are serving to come forward this morning. Serving communion will be our youth department. Pray for them. And stay in an attitude of prayer yourself as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive this holy sacrament right now. We know that the Lord himself ordained this holy sacrament. He commanded his disciples to partake of the bread and wine that were emblems of his broken body and his shed blood. This is his table. This feast is for his disciples. Let all those who have with true repentance forsaken their sins and have believed in Christ unto salvation draw near and take these elements and by faith partake of the life of Jesus Christ to your soul's comfort and joy. If you're new with us this morning, it is not necessary that you be a member of this local Church of the Nazarene or a member of the Church of the Nazarene anywhere. That is not a requirement. It is enough for us if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know that he saves you now. We invite you to participate with us. We are to remember this is a token of his coming again. And a memorial to the death and passion of our Lord. Let us not forget that we are one at one table with the Lord. We are family. All of us together, we are his family. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who because you loved us, gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross in order that we might be redeemed. So we come to you now, Father, and we ask you to hear us and grant that as we receive these elements of bread and wine according to the holy institution of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in remembrance of his passion and death, that we will be made partakers of the benefits of his atoning sacrifice. May we come before you in true humility and faith as we partake of this holy sacrament through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And this which you hold in your hand is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you to preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you. And within the cup is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you to preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be glad. And repeat with me, if you would please, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. 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 How do you feel? Feel good? Oh, that's great. Shall we stand? We're going to take a few moments and we're going to greet one another. That's what we do. We go around. Now, you take one of those yellow cards. Do you have the yellow card? Do you have the yellow card? Don't make me come down there. Do you have the yellow card? Go find someone you don't know. Write down something about them. I want to read about it. Let's do it. Greet one another in Jesus' name. I'll do it. We'll do it. I like the piano. I liked it. Sounded good. Well, I mean that particular view right there, see? Been translated from those original languages into today's vernacular. You need to set a time, a regular time, every day, to be in the Word. Commit yourself to it. Some of you commit yourselves to exercise and you commit yourselves to other things. You need to commit yourselves to spend 5, 10, 15 minutes a day alone without interruption reading God's Word, listening as He speaks to you. We offer classes. That was what 201 class was yesterday. We'll be offering it again. It tells you how to do that, how to have that quiet time. It's a great class. It gives you a whole outline on it. Number two, God speaks through gifted teachers. Now, you may have had some teachers that you thought were teachers, but they weren't all that gifted. See? It doesn't make any difference whether you think they're gifted or not. God can use anybody's teaching for His purpose in order to get His Word into people. Now, have you ever sat in a church service, for instance, and you felt like God was speaking directly to you, nobody else, just you? Seemed like the pastor, the preacher, whoever was speaking, has been reading your mail and is talking exactly right at you. You ever had that experience? Yeah, I know you don't want to admit it. Well, the fact is that God was speaking directly to you. God often uses other people to share His Word. Paul, in his letter to the church at Thessalonica, he described this experience. Read this with me. He said, "When we preached to you, you didn't think of the words as being just our own, but you accepted it as the very Word of God," which of course it was. "It changed your lives." 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Yeah, they got it. They understood it. God speaks to us through teachers, preachers, pastors, and it changes our lives when we listen to them. It has changed my life. It will change your life if we listen. Well, I have to tell you, people say, "Oh, that you must know what's going on with me." I'm sorry, I'm not that smart, see. But when I'm preparing a message, I do tell you, I pray. I say, "Lord, you know who's going to be there. Let me have something that'll help. Just let me have something that'll help me." I have no idea. He doesn't, and I don't even know, see, as He's speaking to you, talking to you. God speaks to you through me, or a Sunday school teacher, or through the fellowship at a dinner we have. You got lots of opportunities for that around here. But not only that, if you are a believer, see, God speaks through you. You're a part of this communication process of God to other people, see? Many times you don't even know it. Many times you may have been speaking to a friend that's going through hard times, okay? And you've said something that helped them, something that changed their life, something that just completely, and you had no idea. What was that? How did that happen? That's God speaking through you. You were the communication for God to them. You didn't think twice about it. It was just something that popped into your mind, seemed like the appropriate thing to say, and it worked. And the reason it worked is because God was using you to speak to them. If you're a Christian, you see, this can happen, and you don't even know it. It's how God has you wired in order that we can be effective at that. He plants ideas. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:13, read it with me. "We do not speak in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit as we explain spiritual truths." So, when you have teachers teach, and they're actually talking the words of God, what God wants them to say to us. The more teaching you hear, the more God can talk to you. This is why once a week on Sunday morning probably is not enough to experience this growth in your own life. You need to be in a Bible study. You need to come to our midweek Bible study, 6:30 on Wednesdays, see? Or on Sunday night, more Bible study. Or some other time, Sunday school. You need to come to Sunday school. They have a Bible studies. They do that there. God can talk to you during those times. So you make a choice, you see. Am I going to be at Bible study or am I going to watch television on Wednesday again? And you say to yourself, and God says, no, really? Again? You're going to watch this again? We talked yesterday a little bit about watching television. You know, and how they didn't get a chance to see all the television programs if they came to church. And I submitted to them, I said, there isn't any television program you're watching that by 10 minutes into the program, you don't know how it's already going to end. I mean, isn't that true? We know. They follow a formula. We know the formula. Yep. Number three, God speaks through impressions. Impressions. You know what an impression is? It's when you get an idea, an impression. God puts ideas in our minds. I got some things I want to tell you about this. When God puts an idea in your mind, we call it inspiration. When you have a creative idea, where do you think you get that creative idea? You get it from the Creator. That's who gave it to you. When Satan puts an idea in your mind, that is not inspiration. That's temptation. It says for us in John 14:26, read this with me. The Holy Spirit will be your teacher and will bring to your mind all I have said to you. Brings to your mind. Brings to your mind means that he gives us an impression, an idea, a hunch, a gut feeling, if you will. See, God often does this. Some of your most brilliant ideas weren't really yours. They were God's. A brilliant business idea, family idea, rational, relational idea, financial idea, problem-solving idea. Where does it come from? It comes from God who loves you, who cares about you, who is infinitely interested in all the details of your life. That's why it's good to be talking to him and good to hear him talking to you. Now, there's a lot of confusion about just how we receive these impressions from God. And next week, I'm going to spend the entire message on evaluating those impressions that we receive. We're going to look at how to recognize God's voice and how to receive an impression from him. And I'm going to give you a way to test impressions because it's very important for you to learn to test impressions because not every impression you get is from God. You've got to be alert. Just do it. We need to learn how to evaluate those impressions, how to figure out whether they're really from God or whether it's just a bad burrito from last night. Got to find out. You can see where it would make a difference. It says in Job, the 33rd chapter and the 14th verse, read it with me. God speaks again and again in dreams and visions at night when deep sleep falls. As people lie on their beds, he opens their ears in times like that and gives them wisdom and instruction. It says that God speaks in dreams and visions. Now, why would God do that? Well, one of the advantages is that because when we are asleep, we are relaxed and we are undistracted. And so how do you do this? Well, one of the best ways that I have found to do this is that when you go to bed and you get ready to go to sleep, you ask God a question. See, you got something you want to know an answer to. You want to say something like, you know, God, what do you want me to do about this situation? What am I going to do about that situation? What am I going to do about that them? What am I going to do? Okay. And we say, God, if you tell me, fine, I'll appreciate it. If you don't tell me, that's okay too, but I'm asking, see, and I want you to help me with this. Many times I get an answer. Sometimes I don't. See? Just don't get one. Sometimes I'll say, as I'm going to sleep, God, what's the next step? What do you want me to do about this church here? What do you want me to do about this relationship? God tells me, tell me what to do. I'm open. And sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. Most of your dreams, pay attention. Most of your dreams are not God speaking to you. I don't want you to start emailing me all your dreams. Okay. Scientists tell us that dreaming is just our minds reorganizing information. You may dream about a book that you're reading or a film that you just saw, a movie, television program, whatever it is. You may dream that you're Freddy Krueger or an axe murderer. See? When that happens, let me assure you, that is not God speaking to you. Okay? You're reorganizing information. And you probably shouldn't even have that information. It's just a confusion of your experiences. But God can speak to us in these ways. Okay? Here's the warning. Let me give it to you. Make sure you understand this. Warning. Always test an impression. Always test an impression. Never make a decision based on your impression alone. And next Sunday, I'm going to give you 7 ways to test an impression. It always has to match what the Bible says, what God's Word says. Any impression that is opposite to what God has said in His Word, in the Bible, any impression, I guarantee you it is not from God. God does not contradict Himself. Okay? I know God, we say, I know God wants me to be happy, and this person really makes me happy, and so I'm going to go with this person. No. Doesn't say in the Bible that God wants you to be happy in the first place. What God wants you to be is Christ-like, and He wants you to go to heaven. Our ideas of happiness are usually pretty shallow and have an awful lot to do with how we feel and all the effects of that. But God is not going to contradict what He said about relationships and sex and the rest of it. He's not going to contradict that just so you can be happy or think you're going to be happy. He doesn't do that all the way along. He does not do that. Any impression that is opposite to what God has said is not from God. Here's one way that God speaks to us. Some of you may be familiar with this one. Number 4, God speaks through pain. Pain. Are you acquainted with this? Oh, yeah. Here's this saying, and I like this because I believe it's true. It says, we don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. You know that's true. We don't change when we see the light of nutrition, for instance. We change when we feel the heat of a heart attack. Then we change. So pain is always going to be a part of God speaking to us. We all fear change. We're not comfortable. We're afraid of what it might do to us. And so we don't change until the pain of changing becomes greater than the fear of change. Once pain is greater than our fear, then we change. Here's the thing. God is so committed to speaking to you. See, God is so committed to having a personal relationship with you. God is so committed in His love for you and in His having you love Him that He will even resort to pain in order to get your attention. Even that He will use to get your attention. Proverbs 20:30. Read this with me. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our way. Hell yeah. Every one of you knows this. We've learned it by experience. It is true that not every time, every pain you experience is necessarily God speaking to you. Not every little hurt and ache and pain is from God. But some of it is. And when we pray for our children, the salvation of our adult children, we basically are praying that there will be something that will happen within their lives to where they will wake up and pay attention to God's purpose for their lives. And usually what that means is we are praying that God will bring into their life a circumstance, a situation. And I got to tell you right now, it's pain that's going to do it. We would like for them just to run into somebody while they're at Starbucks standing in line who will lead them to the Lord and they would accept. But it isn't what happens. They have to find out that they are over their head in living. And it usually takes pain. It takes a diagnosis. It takes a doctor. It takes something to make them realize that that's happening. God speaks to us through these occasions. It is the only benefit that I know of in pain, is that it can bring us closer to God. But it can do that, and often does. I heard about this all-star basketball player. He had back trouble. A bunch of his discs went out, and all of a sudden he's in the hospital. And they ask him, "Why do you think this happened?" And he said, "God had to lay me flat on my back to get me to look up to him." Not bad. Yeah, that's when we start looking up to him. Has God ever had to do that to you? There are some lessons we only learn through pain. Psalms 119. David wrote this psalm, King David. Read it with me. He said, "I used to wander off until you punished me. Now I closely follow all you say. The punishment you gave me was the best thing that could have happened to me, for it taught me to pay attention to your laws." Used to wander off, though. Pain gets our attention. Someone has described it that pain is God's hearing aid. God whispers to us in our pleasures, and he shouts to us in our pain. I found that to be true in my own life. When I'm having fun, I'm not paying that much attention. But when I'm hurting, I am hearing a lot from him. I've said before, it's kind of my litany. One of the benefits of me having cancer was teaches you to pray. You get real close to God. You start listening. He may have information that you want, such as, "You're going to live." I want to hear that. See? He shouts to us in our pain. Didn't say how long, but at that moment, it was good enough. One of the purposes of this church, in case you've ever wondered, is teaching people to hear God speak in their lives. When you hear God speak, really, really speak in your heart, you are changed in your heart when you hear him. See? So the question then is, why is this so important? Why is it important to hear God's voice? Well, there's three reasons. Here they are. Number one, when I hear God's voice, it assures me I am in God's family. It says in John 10:14, Jesus said, "I know those who are mine, and they hear me. They hear my voice." When I hear God's voice, it puts me as a part of his family. You know, some of you that are here, and I know this, are brand new believers. And at first, it's a little difficult to figure out, you know, is this God talking to me or not? Or what is this? You're not familiar with his voice. It's when I call my kids on the phone, when I can ever get them to answer. When I call my kids on the phone, I don't have to say to them, "This is Les Shelton, I'm your father." See? Because they know my voice. They know it's me. Pretty soon you get used to hearing God's voice, you know. When I'm talking to him, I can just start talking to him. They know. We have a relationship, these children and me. We know what each other sounds like. If you don't have that, if you don't hear God speaking to you, then let me tell you something. You need to be saved. See? Because this is a privilege of those who have been saved. You need to be saved because the fact is you're not going to heaven unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the requirement. It's available to anyone who wants to. It's available to anyone who says, you know, Jesus, I want a relationship with you. Anybody who says, I want to know you, Jesus. Anybody who says, I want to communicate with you, Jesus. It's available to anybody. You see, some of you know about God, but you don't know God. Same thing is true with Jesus Christ. You have religion in your life, but you don't have a relationship in your life. You may come to Sunday school, you may have been through catechism, you may have been baptized as an infant, all this, yada, yada, yada. All of that may be true. May be here every week, in fact, but you still have not made that commitment where you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Mainly what you're doing is church. But what we want you to have is a relationship with Him. There's a person that comes to my house every day of the week except Sunday. This person comes to my house. See? It's the mailman. I know who he is. I know what he likes. I know his name. I say hi when our paths cross. And he's even brought gifts to my door, this person. See? I know about him. But I don't really know him. Listen to God, which happened to be speaking to me through Susan. Sometimes, see, got to pay attention. I could tell you stories, all right. If you listen, God will warn you in advance, and you'll avoid a lot of mistakes in your life. You may be challenged to make some kind of unethical decision at work. God will save you from mistakes if you're listening to Him. Ask Him. He's got information for you when you're making decisions. Number three, hearing God's voice is the secret of a productive life. A productive life. The more I depend upon God's guidance, the more successful I am. It says in John 15:5, the person who shares my life and whose life I share, this was Jesus talking, the person who shares my life and whose life I share will be fruitful. God is speaking. God wants to talk to you. He'll use many different ways to do it. These are four most common that I've talked about this morning, but He'll use other ways as well. Some of you have the sense that God is speaking to you right now. As I've been speaking here, you've had the sense that He is speaking to you. Some of you has the idea that God wants to say something to you today. It says in Hebrews 3:15, it says, today, if you hear God's voice speaking to you, do not harden your heart. What does that mean, harden your heart? In other words, don't turn Him off. See? Don't turn Him off. God is trying every way that He knows how to get your attention for your own good. There needs to be some changes in your life, and He'll help you make those changes. But you have to have a relationship with Him. Now, it may be that you've had a relationship before and it's kind of faded. You know how that happens? Kind of faded. Maybe you've let that relationship just kind of go away, moved it to the back burner of your life. Maybe you've never established one at all. Maybe that's true of you. If that is the case in your life, I'm going to ask us all to bow our heads. And if that is the case of you, then I want you to pray this prayer in your heart. Don't have to pray it out loud. Just pray it in your heart as I pray it. Are you ready? Jesus, I understand you want a relationship with me. I want to get to know you and I want to talk with you. Help me to spend some time every day reading your word. Help me to commit to that, Lord. Help me to take advantage of the Bible studies and classes that you provide for us. I need to know more. Help me to be open to impressions that you want to give me. Help me to see how that even pain can bring me closer to you. Today, Jesus, I want to open up my life and ask you to be the manager of my life and to lead me and guide me and save me. Thank you, Jesus. You see, if you prayed that prayer, that means that God has heard you. Okay. That even at this moment, you're beginning a brand new journey called the Christian life. It's a relationship. See? The first thing you need to do is you need to tell somebody that you did this. Okay? Tell the closest person to you, your husband, your wife, friends, whoever. Tell them, I took Jesus into my heart. From now on, it's him and me. Tell them, today I stepped across the line for Jesus Christ. Tell them. It becomes true in your own heart and life. God bless you. And God bless you. All right. We're going to have the presentation of your tithe and the giving of your offerings at this time. Put your yellow cards in there. If you prayed that prayer with me, just put on there saying you prayed it. I'll be praying for you. You got prayer requests? Write them down. There's also probably on there the name of the person that you met during moments of hospitality. I love getting these things. Enjoy it. Are you ready? We thank you, Father, for all that we have received at your hand. We pray that you will bless each one as they give. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Alice. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. All right, shall we stand? I would remind you this evening, 5 o'clock, we will be having hymns and Bible study here this evening. We had baptism last Sunday evening, baptized 7 new candidates, and had 65 people there, you know. So you're going to have to start coming early for a seat on Sunday night, you know. Could be. Have a good time. Everybody, you're doing all right?
Yes.
All right. We thank you, Father, for the blessings of you that we can count on, your daily blessings. I ask that you bless every home that's represented here, whether it's a home of one or two or three or many. Come, dear Lord Jesus, work in our homes, work in our families, work in our lives. Help us in all places that we are, that we lift you up and show that we are listening as you guide us in all things. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.